Hi, welcome to Lead a Horse to Water, the equine podcast for behaviour and training geeks. First up, I want to invite you to a fantastic event that's going on the 6th and 7th of November. It's a Facebook event. It's called Train Clean Stimulus Control. Give me a clue, or is that a cue? Like our previous Train Clean, Suze and I are going to dig down into this time, what is a cue? Do we have stimulus control? Do we know what it is? It's going to be a fantastic event. Slight glitch in, well, I'll let you listen to the rest of the podcast and find out what the slight glitch is, but it is going to be an amazing event. And I look forward to welcoming you. And if you can, share that and tell everyone about it, as well as sharing the podcast. That would be fantastic. Okay, on with the podcast. Okay, this is Suze and I live together recording this episode for the podcast. This is the first time, I think, that we've ever done it together. Normally, Suze is one end of the line and I'm the other. So this is a real treat for us. We are here in Norfolk. And if I say that Suze has a geography A-level, but somehow thought that Norfolk was up north.
Well, it kind of is, because it starts with Nor.
Yeah, it's been fun. No, we got here and we didn't go wrong at any point. Anyway, we're sat in our hotel in Norfolk and we are just going to have a little natter about some stuff. And mainly we're going to concentrate on what we came up at our last weekend. Well, actually, I say last, it was our first weekend workshop, which was interactive. So people joined us on the Saturday morning and they had some homework before that they had to play with. And then we got them actually within the first workshop, considering a few things, and off they went to play. And then we met again on the Sunday evening and they put loads of video for us into a Facebook group. So we all, I think, learnt loads that weekend. And there were some light bulb moments, certainly for people. And the basic weekend was based around reinforcement routines. What do we understand by them? What do we use them for? How do they work? So we all know what reinforcement is. Reinforcement is something that comes after the behavior that is, hopefully, if we're using positive reinforcement, going to make that behavior more likely to happen in the future. We're not going to go into which reinforcers we use particularly. I'm sure we have done a bit about reinforcers before, but if we haven't, we'll do a particular one on reinforcers at some point in the future. But what we really wanted to talk about was how that whole cycle that happens after your click. And of course, if I say click, I mean any bridge. You could be using a word for your bridge, that bridge between the behavior happening and the reinforcer that you're going to give, so that the horse understands completely that pattern. So one thing I'd really like to dispel at the beginning, I don't know whether you were told this, but you know, when you first started out, did you think that you had to feed very quickly after you clicked?
Yes. Yeah, I thought you had to feed immediately.
Yeah, and I think this is a thing that it's a myth that has been perpetuated over a long time. And I'm not saying that at the beginning, maybe for your learner, you don't try and make it fairly quick to associate it. But very soon you can build up that pattern for the horse to understand that it doesn't matter how long she's going to come back to me, they're going to come back to me after the click, and they're going to come back with food. So the homework that we asked people to do, which was really quite good fun, and Suze did it as well, and we both did it with our dogs afterwards as well, was to click for your horse, just depress your clicker or use your marker outside of the environment that you normally would. So while they just stood in the field, or while they just stood eating their hay net on the yard or whatever. And do you want to tell us what happened when you did it?
Yeah, not really.
Well, we did share the videos, to be fair.
So I was hoping to get a video of all four horses who have all worked a little bit with a clicker. Three more, the fourth one not so much, but he's done a little bit. So I was just going to get this amazing video of me clicking my clicker and every single horse looking up in the field, and not a single horse did. Not one, None. Even the one I was stood next to, nothing.
Which, you know, was both good and bad, because I think what Susan and I always like to do at our events is to make it real, because anyone listening to this, you are doing it for real as well. So I had hoped... I had hoped that when Suze clicked, at least one of hers, and I thought B. Her mare B is very food, you know, savvy, and I thought she would, and maybe even Harry would have.
And maybe Teddy should have, yeah, really. I did tell him before.
Yeah, I know,
that
he didn't read the memo, did he? So I would like to think that when that click is so associated with the food, the reinforcer coming afterwards, that it doesn't matter what environment, that they go, oh, there's that sound. And a lot of people were really pleased that their horses didn't do that. And I was, oh, it might be quite a bit harder than I'd imagined this weekend. I thought people were going to go, wow, this is amazing. I'd never thought about that. And actually, I think some of them at that point were thinking, no, this is quite good. My horse only knows we're training when I've got my bag on, when we're in the training environment. And I get that. There is an element of, okay, I'll keep it nice and clean for them. But in your brain, if you hear a sound, so if my phone goes off when I'm not expecting it to, I'll still know it's my phone, regardless if I was expecting it to ring. If you hear a sound that you wouldn't normally expect, so say you hear a baby crying, you would. I'd go looking for that baby and think, why is there a baby crying? But you know what I mean, there are certain noises, certain things that will trigger a response in you. A scent might do that, mightn't it?
My dog's barking.
Your dogs would, exactly. And you do not need to have it's not contingent on a certain set of, so it's not context dependent. It just happens because your brain goes, that's something I know. And so I was hoping that that would happen. And when you and I did it with the dogs, who we both trained the dogs more or less daily, a tiny bit, it was very different, wasn't
totally
it?
Totally different, yeah.
Yeah.
They did do what they were meant to do.
Yeah.
Good dogs.
Yeah. Susie's dogs literally, I mean, she had to climb on things to try to get them all in and to let them not be in a training context. And I did it with one of my dogs who was actually asleep after a long walk, and he woke up the minute he heard that click. And I've often said to people, and Susie as well, when I'm doing video voiceover feedbacks of clicker training people, I have to wear headphones because my dogs literally sit there listening for the clicks. Mm-hmm. And they will, even if I'm playing back a video that I'm going to share with you, they will hear the good that I say on the video, and they will literally be like, where's my food then? So I was really hoping that horses, that people would have done, you know, sort of enough that they would really understand that. So what did that tell us? Oh, I mean, I don't want to read too much into it because it was meant to be a fun exercise rather than we're all not great trainers, because we are. We're all trying our best all the time. But what does it mean for us when we're training if our horse doesn't actually understand that click? What do you think?
Well,
where are we with that?
I think something really interesting, because I've been working with two of mine at the same time recently at the Gateway. Now, if I click one of them, B, she knows, she hears it. Harry, if he's got his feed and his hay, he's quite happy to carry on. If I then go and stand near Harry and obviously click a behaviour, say him lifting his head up, then he knows
that it's for him.
So it's in
that situation for you, context dependency is important.
Certainly with Harry, whereas I think B hears the click when I'm working with Harry, but as long as she's got high enough value hay, and they have special haylage when I'm working with them close together, she's quite happy to carry on eating her haylage. So what does that mean?
Yeah, see, I think in that situation, it's lucky for you that that's how it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not that long since we did that test.
No.
So is the click any more... Yeah, I just want those neurons to go, whoa, I know what that is. But it's actually good for you at the moment that it isn't.
Yeah, really good, because I'd be killed.
Yeah, exactly. You might not be wanting to do what you're doing now. But we both train multiple dogs. Well, you train multiple, I train too. And that's really interesting because mine only know in that context. Mm-hmm. So they both know the click, but when we work together, they might know less that it's...
Yeah.
It's more, it's for, this one's for me because she's working with me. And you, as you know, I'm trying to work on them being clearer about that. Why? Because I want them to be not frustrated when the click isn't for them.
Yeah.
So I would really love if they had a different marker. We talked about this, didn't we? That they had a different marker so that it didn't feel like you were cheating one of them.
Yeah. So when I'm training multiple dogs, I very rarely use a clicker.
Yeah. So will you use any...
If it's duration...
Well, of course you will use the bridge, but yeah.
Well, no, I don't. Often I don't.
But there will be a bridge.
Yeah, my hand going to my pocket. Yeah,
but it's a silent... Yeah. So.
If I'm training a wait at the door with the dogs, with all four of them, I will say good and give the dog that is being good the treat. Sometimes, often I'll just hand the food out,
yeah,
and they know.
Yeah,
but I have done a little bit with a clicker with one stationed on a mat, but I would normally give the dog that's been clicked their treat and then the one on the mat will get one. So I guess they're still being reinforced for the clicker.
Yeah,
because I normally follow it up
afterwards. Yeah. So again, they know, but it's what happens after the click.
Yes.
So this is my, what I wanted to do is kind of bring it back round to Harry and B being in the field together. So you click, but you don't go to that horse.
No, because I'll go to the horse that I'm stood near.
So they begin to see what, I'm kind of trying to drive the conversation in the direction of reinforcement routines. So that we look at what happens when you've given your click or your other bridge. And the horse then begins to understand how they'll get their food. So B is understanding that you are going to go and feed Harry first or come back, but she'll still get her her food, her reinforcer. So it's not a big deal. It's just she's understanding a different reinforcement loop.
And she understands the pattern routine. Of I click, Harry gets food, she gets food.
Yeah.
But if I'm then working with Harry, say, so she's still, we're working with no protected contact in this.
Yeah, no, they can.
At the moment, they can and have once come and joined in. So if I'm working with Harry, say, and I try and limit myself to 5 to 10 clicks so the other horse doesn't get too frustrated.
Yeah.
So I'm clicking, say I've clicked Harry 5 times for standing still.
Yeah.
B's heard 5 clicks but hasn't had any reinforcement.
Yeah.
Well, she has. She's got a hay now. She's got a chaff feed.
Yeah.
She's but got that a sprinkling of treats.
Yeah. So I would probably think in the long run that is not a plan that...
It's not sustainable.
...would sustain
because
itself.
Because if she didn't have that, it wouldn't work.
Yeah. So you kind of think what learning is going on there. Is she... learning that at the same... So I suppose if you had a doser that would chuck out a handful of haylage, if she just finished her haylage as you started clicking Harry and it chucked her out a load of hay, she wouldn't... Yeah, it wouldn't be an issue getting the rest. I mean, I think what you have to remember with all of this, a lot of the science, all of the science that was done on this was done in a cold, sterile lab with a rat or a pigeon and a feeder that delivered a little pellet and they peck something or a light comes on or something. And so what we're talking about is real life, which is really different. So actually knowing what's going on there, we wouldn't ever have the science to put that together with all the variables that you would have stood in your field trying to do that. But I think if we use the science to inform us whether something's fair, so if you're not seeing any fallout, if you're not seeing any frustration, if you're not seeing any extinction bursts, then her own reinforcer of eating the haylage while Harry does his own thing is obviously not a big deal. But I would just, you know, you just got to watch it, haven't you, and see,
but
make sure that doesn't happen.
If I didn't have that haylage, and I always leave a treat scatter.
Yeah, so, yeah, so she's got a treat scatter, and then she'll go on to a haylage, yeah.
Well, I put the treats in the haylage.
Yeah.
So she's rummaging
around.
So
again, she has got a reinforcement routine there of a scatter in the haylage, and then you go work with Harry.
Yeah.
Be interesting if she ate. Well, it wouldn't be interesting.
No, wouldn't it?
I know exactly what would happen. She would finish that, and then she'd come and tell you what for.
Well, I don't. She'll sometimes watch.
Really?
Harry won't watch. If Harry's head's up, I need to run away. Or
what does
I make sure that Harry's head stays down. Eating his treat scatter. If I see him, if I suspect he's running out, I'll go back and restock it.
Okay, so he would be the one that would move in first.
I think B would stay. I don't think she'd stay forever, but she would give
a little bit longer.
I'd get a bit more warning with B before she came over.
Perhaps down to their individual natures, which again, every time you're working with a horse, it's totally dependent on that horse rather than. So whilst I was hoping that people's horses would know the click and know that it meant something because that they were associated, we then wanted to take it on so that they would understand that what happened after the click. So the click is really your cue to say, this is what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
So if I click, my horse understands, I will come to you and feed you from my hand to your mouth. But for other horses or for other people, they might have different bridges, or they might give more information after that cue that we're saying the click or the bridge becomes. So if I click and I walk towards a bucket, I might throw food in the bucket, that gives the horse enough information because my feet moving after I've clicked. So it's a bit like we're saying with B, she gets her scatter and her haylage. That is one routine that she knows. That's my reinforcement routine. And now I know you go and work with Harry for 5 or 6 before anything else happens. And the same for if we think about, we've got some people that are on the My Understand Horses course at the moment. We're using bucket as a bridge. And so it's a different bridge. It's not the click. So they might click means I'm going to bring you hand feed. Bucket might mean we'll walk to the nearest bucket and throw food in it. So you could have a different reinforcer. You could have a different cue for your reinforcer. So your marker, which you've just said, don't blow your brains. It is a cue. It's a cue for what's going to happen next. So go on, your quote, Susie's doing her Karen Pryor course at the moment. And you'll want, she's panicking now. That the click ends the behaviour.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you think about the click ends the behaviour, it then starts the reinforcement routine or the reinforcement loop. So what we wanted to dig into at the weekend was that, there are different routines, and how well does your horse understand the routine? Does it understand when you click, I'm going to come to you? And have people actually got a protocol on that? Or do they sometimes carry on walking? I know, when I work with Becky, she often will walk and feed at the same time.
Oh.
And I know a lot of people have done that over the years, and it's just something they've maybe thought themselves, because I don't want my horse to stop.
Right, yeah.
But I don't have a problem with
as long
that.
As the horse knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So unless you want to lose your hand, because
I'd lose a hand.
If your horse thinks that the clip means take the food from my hand, and then you're walking as well as they're walking, and they're trying to find your hand, you could lose your hand.
I did have. Just this has just made me think. I was doing click and feeding into the bucket. So with the dogs, I got different markers for different feeding protocols. For the horses, I click.
Yeah.
And I was doing with Harry a while ago, click, food in the bucket, click, food in the bucket. And I was trying to introduce some click hand feed. and I clicked, reached out with a food on my hand, and because he was going down to the bucket, he nearly took my hand out with it. It wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
It was my fault for not planning it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
He and was very good. He didn't take any fingers.
No, but it, but that, it was that's a little the thing. Bit rougher that's than I'd just have liked. To point out, dear listeners, that if you're going to introduce a new routine of reinforcement, that you have to teach it like you have to teach a behaviour.
Mm. So and that's something that it took me a long time to work out what you meant when you said the click starts a new loop.
Yeah.
It took me ages to work that out.
Yeah. It's like a figure of eight. So the first side of the figure of eight on its side, and in the middle of it is the click. So the left hand bit of the figure of eight is the behaviour loop, and then you click or other marker, and then you start that other behavior. And what you want is after that reinforcement loop to come back into the middle ready to start the next behavior loop. Yeah. And it just keeps going on and on and on. And I like my figure of eight, but so I think what we the other thing to mention is location specific markers, because that is what we're saying. Bucket is basically a LSM, a location-specific marker. It's a fancy word for, I mean, all of my reinforcers would be location-specific, because click is specifically I'm coming to the location you are in.
Yeah.
And like, so with let's go with the dogs, because mine are three different ones.
Yeah.
You have different ones too, and that makes it a bit clearer. So if I click, I'm going to throw food.
Yep.
So my location is watch where this treat goes and find it. If I say good, then I'm coming to your mouth with the food, just like I would for my horse with it, normally with a click. And if I say yep, that means follow my hand, because that might be the dog running at me and I'm really keen to keep them coming all the way to me. I might say yep, and I'll draw my hand around me so that they follow around my leg. That's a less of a horse one. I can't see me using that one.
Be good.
No, because that's another lose your fingers one. But for a horse, it could be, you know, bucket means, you know, going to the bucket. So it's specific to the bucket. Mat might mean I'm going to feed you on the mat.
Does that then make things very complicated, do you think?
I think it can. I think that can be difficult for trainers.
Which, because I know with the dogs, I do it.
Yeah.
But with the horses, I will click and I'll either walk to the nearest bucket or chuck the food on the floor or put the food. So I guess the clue and is not just about the click then, is it?
No,
it's about what comes after the click.
And that's absolutely fine. I mean, that's what I was saying about Bee, is that if she hears a click and you go to Harry, she knows then you're going to come on that one, your feet will move, and it will only take them maybe sort of a
dozen.
Where
are your legs going?
Yeah, they know. Yeah. So for me, the click can just be the first bit of information.
Yeah.
And some
food's
people,
coming.
Yeah. How's it coming?
Watch me to see how it's getting to
food's
you.
Food's coming. If I stand still after I've clicked and put my hand straight in my bag and then walk towards you, I'm bringing it. If I click and move my feet before my hand goes in the bag,
yeah,
come with me, let's go.
This is where you've got to be so clean, isn't it?
This is easy to say, and which is why maybe a location specific marker is easier for some people, as long as they don't jumble it up.
Yeah.
And you could also have, well, we've just been discussing this before we press the record button, if you wanted to move a horse backwards, in theory you could place the treat just back from their front feet, so they have to sort of stretch their necks and their nose back under to get it, and then when they lift up they're ready to come up again and you catch another behavior. So yeah, I think location specific markers are good, they're useful, but for some people they might feel it's too
complex. And I don't
complex.
Know that I've not really known it used for horses that much.
Much less. I mean, there's a few people on the course are using bucket as a way to think about it. But I think for other people, they're not. So, and Jan's doing mats, so that's but I don't think she's put I think she is. She's already making it mat, and that means you can go and get your food on the mat.
Right.
So I think I've played around with it more recently with clients than I did in the past, because I think I've had some really kind of more geeky people that want to do that stuff. So if you're basically just starting out clicker trainer, don't panic, because
because the horse does take in a lot of information that you might not even realise you're giving. Because I say with all but Harry, I can click and then either put food in a bucket, put it in my hand and give it to the horse, or walk onto a bucket, or even chuck it on the floor, and they will go where the food goes,
absolutely,
and with minimal risk to losing fingers,
because they pick up what you do. And we can overcomplicate it by worrying. But I also do think, if you know, if I said to 10 people in a clicker group, did you practice your reinforcement routine this morning? I guarantee 0 out of 10 people will have done. You and me probably included. Although I would always do it
every morning, first thing I do.
Exactly.
In front of the mirror.
But I think that probably some more time doing that is...
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I did, if you go on YouTube and Google clicker bought... We might have to put it in the notes.
I'll write this down for
clicker mechanics practice or something.
Yeah, okay.
Someone chucks a ball around and you can just click when the ball hits something.
Yeah, that's cool. The bouncy ball and things that you, are
people,
good.
There's lots on YouTube to practice, really practice getting your timing, because it's hard when you're doing it on your own.
Yeah, and that, the other thing that sometimes I've done, as I said to you before, is find a video of a horse walking and click every time. Yeah. One of its feet hits the ground, or its tail swishes, or whatever. It just hones your skills of thinking about what a behaviour looks like, identifying it. Because often we just blindly go in and we set a criteria, and we don't really think about actually what am I going to mark anyway. We just, oh yeah, that was a bit like it, that'll do.
Yeah.
And then before you know where you are, you've started a behaviour pattern that. You've got a horse like Harry,
who we've got better with it now, maybe a year later, he was an expert at making me click.
Yeah.
So I just click to make sure he didn't bite me.
Yeah, anything.
Or mug me.
Anything is better than those teeth being in me. Yeah, that's, I think that's really hard, because at the beginning, you don't notice what he's trying to get marking for, and so you are just marking, and he's
just for survival,
he's already picked, and so he's got that thought in his head, I'm gonna bite her, oh good, I got clicked for that, I'll try that one again. It's crazy, isn't it, how
setting up the environment made a big difference. Getting in protected contact made a huge difference for that.
So the other thing that when we look at that reinforcement routine of what information we click, that ends the behaviour, it starts the reinforcement routine. What other information do we want to think about at that point? You know, where do we want to end that figure eight, that middle bit of the figure eight? So if we think about resetting a behaviour.
So the horse is eating the food.
Yeah.
How can we set them up for the next repetition?
For the next repetition. So this is something that you see very little in horse training.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It seems utterly bizarre to me that you don't get yourself in a position ready to start another.
I've just had a crazy idea.
Oh,
I know
God.
We're doing a podcast, but I think now's a good time. You know with dogs? She's looking at me scared now.
Oh, God.
You know with dogs, you can get...
Apologies, listeners.
Those clam things where you put the treat in the ball.
Yeah.
Why not do that with a horse?
Yeah, well, you could easily.
Because they could see that.
Yeah,
if you
and go get
that.
It. Oh, that's a super idea.
See, sometimes they're not bad ideas.
No, we've been thinking about how you could throw food. Sorry, nobody's got a clue what we're talking about, because we forgot they weren't party to the conversation. So we were saying how with dogs we would chuck food. So if you want the dog to keep coming back to a new position, maybe that position is... stand with front feet on a mat or a pedestal or something. So you want your dog to keep coming back and standing. That could be for a horse, it could be coming back and touching a stationary target. It could be coming back and putting its feet on front feet on a mat, on a ramp, anything like that. But it's just basically resetting to a new position. And with a dog, you can throw a treat, they go to get it, and they come back looking to you for information to start the behaviour again. Well, we don't often do that with horses. And we were trying to think, well, you know, if you threw food, it might have to be quite big food. The horse would have to be invested in going and finding it. And I don't know whether you know what Susie's talking about, but you get these unfoldable Kongs now.
I think they're like clams. If you
clams,
like
are they? Okay, Google
clams. There's quite a lot of dog food.
Yeah, but they dispensers. Are basically like almost like a seed, aren't they?
Yeah, that like you, a Velcro.
Yeah, and they Velcro together, and when they open up, they can get food out of it. So I think we'd have to work on some design.
Yeah.
That could go in the shop, couldn't it?
Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll make our millions, yeah. So,
yeah. Somebody's just stolen that idea now. We've told everybody too soon. But yeah, I like the idea that in theory you could throw something that the horse found the reinforcer in. Yeah.
And it would be very reinforcing because they have to forage.
Because they have to seek
get it.
The food to get it out of there. They've got to look for it almost. So yeah, we'll keep secret the actual bits of how we're going to do this, because I have ideas going through my head already. Yeah. But that, that would be good. That's your two pints of cider gob. But it's obviously working. It's working, yeah, it's good. I haven't, by the way, just because I'm boring. I'm caffeined up. Anyway, let's get back to that. Is a great point, and I've written it down, and we'll talk clams again in future. But talking about resetting, using that reinforcer to reset, it's a great one. I did this with Hazel last time I was here, and we had a bucket with one hay cob in it. And I know, it was horrible. No, he was fine. And he went down to eat in the bucket. Mm-hmm. Hazel said, you know, eat whatever. I can't remember what her cue was to eat. And she let Chappie go down to eat. And of course, when he's had what and he's eaten it, there's nothing else in the bucket. He lifts his head up, click, reinforce by putting another one into the bucket. There you go. And then when he's finished that one, he lifts his head up and she clicks him again. And we start to put on cue the fact that he can come up for the... And if you're just starting this out and you're thinking, I haven't got a down behaviour to go and eat, fine, just put the food in, almost lure your horse down there. The odd bit of luring is no awful thing.
So I did it with Lukey, didn't I? This video. I just held the bucket up and with each food going in, I put it half an inch.
Exactly. So you're teaching them to retrieve food from a bucket. And bizarrely, not all horses do, especially once you've been clicker training for a while. And that, again, they know the information is click and get the food from the hand. But if you want to have a new routine, you've got to teach the new routine. The number of people that sort of think that horses are mind readers is amazing. So then you've got that situation where the reset gives you the opportunity to ask the horse for the same behavior again, but you've reset them. You haven't got a horse all over you. So like with a target, and my love of targets, if you were teaching the horse to come back in and have a fresh attempt at a target, maybe a stationary target, and you did that with Harry with the cone.
It worked really well with Harry.
You can actually ask the horse by the food placement to step aside to get the food, and then they can come back in to the new behaviour, which is coming to a target or a cone that's stationary, and touch it, and it's so clear because they swing back into it, capture the behaviour with your marker, reinforce them off to the side again, and back they come to give it a go. Oh, I'm worn out.
Me too.
We've been going over half an hour, which is probably plenty considering it's getting late in the evening. So is there anything else we need to tell people? I don't think so. I think
that's, as long as no one steals our
Clam idea. It's buried.
My clam
it's
idea?
Your clam idea. I bought the cider.
Oh, yeah, fair.
It's mine. So these things are called reinforcement routines, loops, protocols, patterns, whatever. So many things. What else have we talked about? Location-specific markers, which means that the marker is different. So you have a click, you have a word, it might have an arm gesture, whatever. But you can also have more information that follows the click. So if you keep one marker and that's your click, you can then have information that follows that, that tells your horse how they're going to get the food. And these things can be helpful in terms of resetting your horse to come back for a new behavior. That's it. I think we've done it. Okay, well. So we're good to go, and we're going to Hazel Heaton's wonderful 9 acres in the morning for the first day of our weekend live interactive workshop. And we have a weekend workshop coming up very soon, the 9th and 10th of November. Was it the 10th and 11th? I will check the show notes, because my brain has fallen. Susie's going to check her calendar for me while we're live.
Live at the... It was 6th and 7th.
Oh, actually. Sorry, I lied. 6th and 7th of November.
Oh,
it's not.
No.
What is it?
It's not then. My sister's getting married.
Oh, that could be interesting then. We might be changing that one then. Bless her. We'll come back to you on that one. I'll probably be doing it on my own.
Trudy will be on her own.
And Suze will give me...
I'll call in from the wedding.
And Suze will give me lots of videos to entertain you with. But yeah, it's the 6th and 7th.
6th and 7th, it's first weekend in November.
Weekend of November. So 6th and 7th of November, that will happen. And we'll be doing some more after that anyway, when Suze hasn't got weddings to go to. So come and join us, and we hope you enjoyed listening, and give us some ideas for stuff you'd like to hear us talk about in the future. Bye for now.
Bye.
I really appreciate you having listened to that episode of Lead a Horse to Water. I hope you enjoyed it, and maybe see fit to reinforce me by sharing it on social media. I'll be along soon with another episode. I've got some great guests lined up for season 2. You can find me on Facebook, Trudy Dempsey, Equine Trainer and Behaviour Consultant. If you search at Creative Equine Training, you'll find me on Facebook. I'm on Insta, and I've got my website, equine.training, and you can also find my courses at understandhorses.com. Don't forget, have a look on Facebook at those events that I'm running, and get yourself signed up, because they're going to be awesome. See you again soon.